It's my pleasure to welcome again to the Many Rivers stage and context, Denise Barry Sensei. She's going to be talking tonight about aligning and allowing. She is, of course, the chief instructor and founder of Kumakai Aikido, down the street here in Sebastopol. Has spoken here many times over the years. Oh, it's been a while, and it's so we're delighted to have her back finally after a too long a hiatus. Please join me in welcoming Denise Barry Sensei.
Familiar and friendly faces, some unfamiliar faces. Thank you for coming down to hear my talk tonight. I was just going to read what I wrote, which I now don't have with me. Is there a the purple sheet?
Guy.
Voila. Thank you. I need a magnifying glass.
Yeah, that's really tall. Very small.
It is small. Small. See if I can read what I wrote.
You want me to read it?
No, it's okay. Okay, so what I wrote for this talk is, it's entitled Aligning and Allowing. And when we allow ourselves to align to the truth of who we are, which is what I'm calling centering, we will discover clarity about our purpose and what we want. There is then greater ease in our being and in our lives as we relax confidently into our core. Universal energies are always flowing through us and trying to support us. The practice becomes one of aligning and allowing, opening and receiving, all that will manifest when this level of harmony with the universe is achieved. Tonight we will discuss the Aiki principles and practices we utilize to explore, create, and master the quality of life we desire. So I've given a little bit of my history in talks past, but I will start off with some of that again to say that when I was 16 and a junior in high school, I was walking home from school one day and I was listening to the chatter in my head and was really bored by it. And so this question kind of came up where I thought there has to be more to life than just the chatter in my head. And then I thought, I certainly hope so, because otherwise I'm just going to be bored out of my mind. There must be more. But I didn't know. This was 1976, and I had no idea what it was that I was in store for. Fortunately, the universe heard that question and answered it very quickly within a matter of weeks, so that when I was in an alternative program in high school and these two people came in and we spent a whole day, this program that I was in, we were together for most of the day doing Aikido-based exercises. And suddenly I had a connection to myself, a connection to my body, a connection to the earth, to the universe, that was astounding to me. I felt totally different than I felt as this person whose thoughts were just kind of bouncing back and forth in my head. And I had a direct experience that day of my center. And it was incredibly calm. It was incredibly peaceful. It was a location inside of my body that that we were guided to rest our attention, our consciousness, in this location. And in that place, all of this boring noise that I was experiencing got very quiet. And I felt a sense of unity. I felt a sense of alignment to myself and to something greater than myself. So that kind of answered my question. And I was really, really grateful to have that answer. I then was given an opportunity to go on a six-week trip to the Southwest with these same people who did Aikido. And so we not only did some spiritual practices in the ruins, some of the Native American ruins and so forth, but we did Aikido exercises every day. Slept on the ground, camped, went backpacking. And when I came home from this trip, I felt like I knew myself deeply. I was deeply connected to myself for the first time. I also somehow knew that if I didn't keep practicing, I wanted to keep this feeling of integration and wholeness and okayness in my own system. And I knew somehow that I couldn't hold on to it. But I had to keep practicing, that it was something that I was going to need to keep engaging over and over again. And so after I was home, I still had another year in high school to go, another semester in high school to go. And so I immediately joined the local dojo. Dojo means training hall. And started practicing. And I had to get my parents' permission to do this, and they were actually not really happy about it. They thought I had kind of gone off the rails already with this spiritual stuff. And so they had to sign away and give me the car to be able to go to class a couple of nights a week. And so I started training, and I was training 2 days a week, and it wasn't enough. And so as soon as I possibly could, I started training every day. And then there were a few classes each day, and I started training 2-3 classes a day. And we'd drive into San Francisco, and we'd go to classes and come back. And then we'd drive back in for the evening classes. And so it was a very, very extensive and deep immersion into my Aikido training. So what does Aikido mean? Aikido, I means harmony or love. Ki means energy, and Do means the path or the way. So it means the way of harmonizing your energy with that of the universe. to practice aligning to something here, and then aligning to something outside, is really what we do. So it's a martial art. One of my teachers who studied with the founder said that Aikido is a spiritual path encoded in martial logic. So there's something that's very, very open about it, and there's something that's very precise about it. So we're learning how to harmonize with ourselves, and we're learning how to harmonize with the universe when somebody's trying to strike us, hit us on the head, attack us, grab us, to do something. And then what we need to do as the practitioner is to center ourselves and align ourselves in order to be able to fully connect with the person who's trying to attack us, and then to harmonize with that energy and redirect it. So in order to be able to do that, you have to be in a pretty balanced place. Kyle, can I use you for a second? So if he grabs my wrist here, and we have just a basic movement here. So if I push into him, I run into his power, and I'm in conflict with him. If I collapse, then I don't have any power left. So what I'm doing is I'm sending my energy into his energy flow, and I'm sending it in the same direction that his energy is flowing. So now I've harmonized with or joined with that energy. Then we get out of the way so it can just go through. And then the beautiful thing about this is that you turn and you see your partner's point of view. So there's a tremendous empathy that starts to happen. So that's going to be a first basic here, and coming here. And then as I start to get more connected to myself, more connected to the earth, more connected to heaven and earth, as O-sensei said, then I can begin to include him. He starts to represent the universe. He's just a very obvious representation of the universe here. So then I can begin to see how I'm on or off or connecting here. So I'm just going to show you how I'm going to get more connected to myself, more aligned to myself here. And I'm settling down. I'm connecting. Starting to breathe a little bit. Feeling my feet. He's starting to open up. He's starting to change a little bit here. So I should start to look a little bit different. Maybe you start to feel something that's a little bit different. Okay? I could just try to do something to him, which is typically where we start. You're the problem. I should do something to you. Here. And then I'm forcing things, and he's resisting. Anytime somebody tries to force something on us, typically resistance comes up. So what we're doing is we're trying to align enough so that there's something that's easy, comfortable, allowing, and non-resistant. Okay, so thank you. So that's called the basic blend, just harmonizing with the energy. Did anybody see anything change in your watching of that? Jim, what'd you see?
Well, just the movements got smoother.
Yes.
Less angular. You know, like just as you repeated them.
Yeah, so something, as I got in a better place, yeah, things got smoother.
Right.
Yeah.
Your movement had effortlessness. Is as you progressed in that, there was just very light movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it got easy, more effortless. Uh-huh. True.
I love the word conversational. It's conversational.
Yeah.
You're in a conversation with each other.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So there's speaking and there's listening.
There's growth. There's growth.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. So when we're aligning to ourselves. So if you in this moment right now kind of connect in with yourself and say, what can I align to inside of myself? Can I align to my body? Can I align to my feeling state? Can I align to the energies that are there? As you first start to connect in and start to align to yourself, what do you feel? You can answer that question.
Well, I feel my skin, like the temperature, the feeling of the room around me, and I feel like my breath inside me.
Okay, so skin, feeling the skin, the temperature, the room, and then, oh, there's breath that's there. So we can start to try to breathe. I'm not breathing, I should breathe. We start to work at breathing. But when we start to settle down, we get in that easier place, that more comfortable place, the breathing happens. Once the body starts to relax, when things start to get a little bit more comfortable. Were you going to say something, Stuart?
No, nothing came up. What I'm feeling is a quiet and the word that came up with was grounded.
Grounded.
You know, connected to the ground, connected, you know, it's like the static. It has somewhere to go.
Okay, good. So we don't want to be a house for energy, we want to be a channel for energy. And so much of what this is to say there's universal energies that are constantly moving around us and through us. And when we're not in a good alignment, those energies come through and they bump us. We just call it being bumped. So that they come from a lot of different directions, but oftentimes they'll come from the ground up. So when we're not, you know, kind of doing okay, and you know, something like this happens, or if he comes and grabs me strongly, and I get kind of bumped up. And we have these panic moments here, okay? And then he does the same thing, and I relax into that grounded place. Okay, he comes in strong. I'm not pushing down.
No.
Okay. time. I'm just... And so he starts to tap into a river that's running a little bit deeper. And he starts to get lower. And then everything starts to get more comfortable. Okay, but the first one, thank you, the first one, I was getting knocked off my center. I was getting bumped up out of my ground. So when you're working with aligning to yourself or aligning with your intention, there's going to be degrees of it. So on your first pass, you're going to catch a little flavor of it. And then as you continue the journey, the process, the experience of coming into a better place of alignment, things should start to change a little bit. So oftentimes, your vision will get clearer. The sense of, oh, I can feel my skin. Skin has a lot of sensation, has a lot of intelligence there. So there's things that start to change as we change in here. Because it's relational, the mirror of how we are in our own alignment, how we are doing with ourselves, is being reflected to us throughout each interaction, throughout each conversation, if you will. And so if I'm not truly aligned, if I'm not in the best place possible, then my partner's going to feel that, and that's going to get reflected back to me. So Aikido is a martial art, but it's not a fighting art. It's an art in which we're practicing being present, deeply connected, and deeply nonviolent. So it's kind of interesting to say, how do I be an attacker and be nonviolent? All of that. And it's a problem. Okay? Because we go back and forth, and the attacker has some story in there that says, I'm a street fighter. I need to make my attack real. I need to, you know, this should work on the street. And then we take four turns. So if you're the attacker for four turns, and you're in a really fighting mind, and then you have four turns where you have to be the great harmonizer, and then you're going to be the great fighter and the great harmonizer, you won't find peace. You're going to be conflicted because I can't change from fighter to harmonizer that fast. And most people can't do that. So the role of the attacker then starts to become, rather than a fighter, the true role of the attacker starts to become a mirror. So what you're seeing with Kyle is that he's reflecting something that's coming through me. And that's where the partnership, the we of it, the co-creating of the dynamic together is so important, because actually the better he is at his job of being the attacker, the more clear and honest feedback I can get about my alignment and my ability to be in relationship to something outside of me or to the other. Any questions so far? Does that make sense? Yeah.
I've been looking at what I call natural opposition.
Yes.
Have you ever heard that term?
I haven't.
Because there are natural oppositions, like the upper jaw opposes the lower jaw, so we can chew. And like the sail opposes the wind, and so the ship can go forth. Life is full of what I would call natural oppositions, and so it seems like a strategy or a philosophy like Aikido needs to be implicit simply in just being, just arriving in the moment.
Yes.
In what I would call the conversation of the moment.
Uh-huh.
So I was just wondering if you look at natural, if you see this as natural, as like an ongoing way of being in the world, and not just a way of responding to an aggression.
Yes. Yes. There's. Well, so the other piece of it is that then there's the world.
Yes.
So, and it has all kinds of energies, it has all kinds of information, there's all kinds of guidance, there's all kinds of signals and signs about where we should go. So, I want to be as present as possible inside of myself, but not isolated in there. I want to be present in my system and present in the world that I'm in. So if what we're doing is we're attempting to bring ourselves into alignment with the universe. Now, I don't know what the universe means to you. It's kind of a big thing. But there's a world. There's something. There's energies here. There's information here. And so if we're too isolated, then we're not in that dynamic. We're not in that relationship. And then things kind of catch us by surprise, or they throw us off, or we walk into a situation that we probably shouldn't be in. So there's contrast, there's pressure, and then there's kind of the dance. So a lot of people say, oh, Aikido is like dance. And one of my teachers who studied with O-sensei wrote a book entitled It's a Lot Like Dancing. So there's some way where, how are you dancing with your life? How are you dancing with the energies that are present? And are you being just kind of knocked about by them? Are you trying to hold them out in a really rigid way? Or is there some way where the organic nature of it, the fluidity of it, the interchange of it becomes really enjoyable, really, really pleasurable, really life enhancing? And then when it's really hard, you know, which sometimes it is, that we can show up for the more challenging things in a really good and dynamic way. So it's, in part, it's learning how to handle pressure, learning how to be okay despite the strength of what's coming at us or what's going on around us. So what the founder said, what O-sensei said, is he said, eliminate the discord within yourself and bring yourself into harmony with the universe itself. So when we're in discord, when we're beating ourselves up, when we're there's stress inside the system, there's not internal harmony, and there can't, and then you cannot be in harmony with the universe itself. So he was a master fighter. He was also deeply engaged in Shintoism. And so he started to bring those, particularly was very, very distraught over World War II. And so after that, he said, we have to stop fighting. We have to find a way to come together. We have to find a way to make the world one family so that we are not at war all the time. But in order to be able to do that, we have to not be at war within ourselves. And so the very first teacher that introduced me to Aikido, he said, I don't know how often you guys have been attacked on the street. He said, I've never been attacked on the street, but I beat myself up all the time. And that's my practice. I was like, right. And so when that inner critic, that inner judge, that inner, on a really bad day, attacker, is going after you, that's the internal of what he was doing coming and grabbing me. And so to eliminate the discord within yourself and to somehow say, I'm going to align to myself. I'm going to align through my body. I'm going to connect here at a very deep level, and I'm going to be so unified that I can't attack myself. And when I can't attack myself, there will be inner peace. And when there's inner peace, then I am in the world influencing things because of that internally peaceful place. So he said, if you have the mind to attack, you have taken yourself out of alignment with the universe and you're already defeated. So it's a very interesting and very refined practice. I've been doing this now for close to 40 years without stopping. It has been my life's path and will always be my life's path. And I'm deeply, deeply fascinated by how do you live it 24/7? You know, how do you stay connected? How do you stay present? How do you stay really clear? And how do you stay really engaged in the world you're in? I mean, we all need our moments on the couch where we're watching a movie or something. You know, it's important to have those kind of downtimes. But I think that it's really important to be able to stay present with ourselves and to be able to stay present with each other and with what's happening as much as possible. And so that comes to, so when I'm coming into alignment with myself, there's something that's more authentic that can start to come through. There's a way in which, so O-sensei said, O-sensei is the founder of Aikido, bring yourself into alignment with heaven and earth. So there's some ground and there's some verticality. There's something above, there's something below. So it's not just you. There's a world that you're in that you're connecting to, and when you're at ease in your own system, when you're comfortable in your own center, you're aligning to yourself in a particular way, there starts to be hopefully some space inside of you. So do you know that place where you go, oh yeah, I mean, on a good day you could go, I feel pretty spacious today. Things aren't going to irritate me as much as they would on a bad day. On a bad day, I can be irritated like that. And I used to think that it was other people's job to not irritate me. If only you weren't so irritating, I'd feel better. It was kind of like, no, that doesn't work so well. Okay. You can be however you are. And I need to be in a place where I'm spacious enough and allowing enough so that I'm not kind of fazed by that. So my practice has really shifted to how okay, how comfortable, how full, how aligned, how allowing of all of life can I be? How spacious can I be so that I'm responding to life rather than reacting to life? If I'm in a tight place and somebody does something that is not to my liking, it's that fast. You know, it's a pretty quick something that needs to happen. And when there's space in there, it's like, okay. There's something easy, there's something more relaxed, there's something that's more natural. So when there's space, then there's room, and this is where the allowing comes in. So as I come into a greater level of alignment with myself and with the universe, and I have some space, when there's space, there's more time. So time and space starts to change. And then the energies that are trying to come through, and they're always trying to come through. So when we say things like, I don't think I have the energy for that. The energies, the minute we say that we're going to do something, the energies show up to help us to do this. But if we're kind of not really open or not really aligned, then we don't think that there's any energy there. And it starts kind of pushing us around, and that's when I get irritable, is when I'm not really in alignment and the energies are pushing me around. So I say, oh, I'm going to come give this talk tonight, and energy starts to come through. And I go, oh, that's a lot of energy coming through to sit in front of a group of people and, you know, share this information that I've been working on for such a long time. So in order just to prepare myself for this, I had to get into a better alignment. I had to open a little bit so that the energies of giving a public talk could come through me and not, you know, cause me to go into some kind of a contraction or some kind of tension state. And then that's an ongoing practice of refinement. I'm here, I'm aligning, I'm allowing energy to come through, I'm connecting with myself, I'm connecting with the universe, how am I doing? I'm about 10% there. Okay. let's settle and kind of refine, and go, oh, well now, you know, I'm about 30% here, feeling better. Things are better. I can handle things at a different level. And so it goes. So there's always the process, and the practice is infinite. So you can always be a little bit more centered. You can always be a little bit more relaxed. You can always be a little bit more present. But it's really, it's a process of making sure that your mind and your body and your spirit are all functioning in a harmonious relationship. So if you, for example, I'll be trying to teach somebody something and they're not getting what I'm asking them to do, and I'm like, why aren't they getting this? This isn't that difficult. Really, Aikido, the movements in Aikido are actually quite simple. But then we get in there. If we don't get out of the way, we get in there and we kind of muck it up, and you know, it can take all kinds of different things, forms, structures. So how do you get out of the way so that you can be in a better place? How do you get more clear? How do you get more here so that something that's very simple can actually begin to show itself? And then how do you do that at a finer and finer level of things? So Osensei said, it's not that I don't get off center, it's just that I correct so fast nobody notices. So when we lose our alignment, we lose our connection to ourselves. If we're bringing this consciousness, so the mind and the body are working together. Oh, I know what I was going to say. That so if somebody can't do something, and then I'll say, what are you paying attention to? And I kid you not, somebody said to me, and so I love to use this example, well, I'm thinking that if I'm outside a bar at 2 in the morning in the Tenderloin, and somebody's trying to hit me over the head with a beer bottle, what would I do? And I'm like, oh, no. No wonder this isn't working. Consciously, you're outside a bar in the Tenderloin. Physically, you're in the dojo trying to do something that I'm asking you to do. It's not working. It's absolutely not working. So when so the mind is an incredibly dynamic and powerful thing. However, it will run amok untrained. And so we have to take our consciousness, we have to train it to be here with what we're doing. So it's like, okay, if you're over there trying to, you know, have your bar brawl, but you're in the dojo trying to be peaceful and do Aikido at the same time, that's not going to work very well. You're not in alignment. You're not here. You're not present with what you're doing. So we can start to see, because the mind is so tricky. You know, it will just go off and it'll... I had one time where I was standing there, this was, I was early in my... And I'm like, oh, I'm ready. I'm feeling good. I'm ready. That attack's going to come in. And I just thought this was going to be the best throw I've ever done. This is the throwing art. And I was all convinced that I was... This is extraordinary. And my partner came in and knocked me over. I was like... Oh, I was just a legend in my own mind. There was no actual truth in my readiness in that moment. It was profoundly awakening. So we can think we're incredible. I'm so here. I have people that come into the dojo. They're like, I was so present until I got here, and I can't do anything. Okay, so we're easily deceived into our state of being. It's easy to think that we're worse or better than we actually are. And so to come in and say, here's something that's real and concrete and hopefully in a tremendous amount of truth that's going to get me to recognize where I am. Am I off somewhere? Or are mind and body and spirit all in the same place, doing the same thing at the same time? And when those pieces all come together, it's a really extraordinary state of being. It's and it's very peaceful. It's very dynamic. There's something that's very easy and alive about it. There's something that's very exciting about it. And so, O-Sensei, one of the things that O-Sensei said is, begin each day anew. And there's a lot of his teachings that I find to be very, very profound, but that one is extraordinary for me. Because there's something like that technique that I just did with Kyle, where in most dojos, pretty much every class starts with that technique. So how many times have you been doing it for a year or 10 or 20? How many times have you done that? And the minute you go, oh yeah, Tai no Hanko, and you just doze off. You fall asleep. You're not there anymore, even though you think you are, but you're just kind of going through the motions. So how do you, so that begin each day anew, do it like you've never done it before. Do whatever it is that you're doing like you've never done it before. The repetitions and the mastery and the excellence and all of that will start to build and support you there. But when you're coming at that, you know, we all know this term, beginner's mind. It's very, the same thing as begin each day anew, begin each thing anew, so that you're not coming in with any assumptions. You're not coming in closed off or partway asleep. You're coming in as fully here and aligned and present and allowing as possible. And then you don't know what's going to happen, but it's probably going to be pretty interesting. So I tell people, it's like if you're bored, you're not paying attention. If you're paying attention, there's always something, you know, that can be interesting, even if it's really not that interesting, but you need something to be interested in. You know, you can get interested in it. If you're in the airport and you're like, oh my God, you know, my plane's 3 hours delayed and I don't have anything to read, how do you keep yourself interested? You could meditate, you could people watch, you could do walking meditation, you could take a nap, you know, whatever it is. But there's always something that's going on in your world that you can bring a fresh perspective to. And so when your process and your practice is about aligning to the body, aligning to center, aligning to spirit, aligning to the universe, and then all that wants to come through to help you to do whatever it is that you're going to do, you're allowing that, you're opening for that, you're being clear enough to be able to fine-tune your connection to yourself. And when there's attackers coming at you, the capacity to fine-tune at that level in real time is really quite an amazing thing. So I think that I've gotten to the point in my practice where that's really what I'm working with all the time. Is how do I just really stay in my core center, the truth of my alignment, in which there's a pretty kind of quiet, things quiet down mentally. There's not a lot of chatter, not a lot of noise. There's something that's easier. There's something that's where I get to manage my thought process. I get to practice and manage where I'm putting my attention. So in other words, if I'm putting my attention into something that's upsetting, something that's negative, my energy field starts to reflect that. If I'm putting my attention into something that is more positive or more uplifting, my energy field starts to reflect that. So a lot of my practice right now, a lot of my work right now is around this level of aligning. And then it's also around, where am I putting my attention? So if you, so the image that I've been using lately is like when you go into a national park or you go into the forest and there's the fire danger sign, low, medium, high, extreme, and then the arrow is pointing towards that. So if you say to yourself, well, how are you? Well, how do I answer that question? It's almost like there's a tapestry of all kinds of things. Well, I'm a little bit sad about this, but this other thing's coming up, and I'm rather excited about that, and I'm a little bit stymied on this one. And, you know, you could say a whole spectrum of things that are true for you in any given moment. One thing may be a little louder, one may be a little bit stronger. But so my question is where's your arrow pointing? If what you're free to do is point your arrow where you want it, then where are you pointing it? And this has really been a kind of a remarkable study for me, to say, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, let's be with blue for a little while and just hang out with that. It doesn't mean all the other things aren't taking place. It just means I'm focusing in that direction. And so what I'm, in terms of this allowing more positive energies to be there, allowing that sense of ease and wholeness, allowing myself just to feel better, and that's a double entendre. I'm feeling better, but I feel everything better. That when I'm allowing my energy to be moving in a positive direction, and this is not to just be Pollyanna-ish, you know, it's not like let's just pretend that other stuff isn't going on. I can say, that needs my attention, you know, and point the arrow over there and be just as alive and present with something that is not so uplifting, but then there's still vitality.
Is your experience that you can choose to move your attention, and by doing that, that's what you become?
Yes, and then the energies start to shift with that. And so then what happens in the relationship with the universe is you start to go, well, you know, oh, I'm in a good mood and people are smiling at me.
Do you find that the time it takes for the shift to take place is shorter or faster depending on your starting point, or is there an inertia that's fairly constant?
I think it's really fast. It's gotten to be really fast.
So that's a matter of practice. Probably the reason I'm asking that is that for, you know, when we say that or when you express that to some people, they may try it, but then they move their attention, but the inertia is such that there doesn't seem to be a shift. And if one doesn't have enough patience to allow the shift, then one can move their attention back to the problem.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm asking the question of how you've experienced the latency.
I think that this practice of aligning helps, because what it does is it gets me present through my body, it gets me present in the here and now, and when I'm in that state, there's an innate clarity that shows itself. And then there's not so much inertia when you're trying to move the dial. I think if you've been very depressed, for example, for a long time, and you just go, well, you know, it's sunny today, I'm going to appreciate that it's sunny today. The alignment stuff hasn't happened. It may really feel like you can't hang out there for too long. So I think that the body is a very, very important piece, because this is what the energy is moving through. So it's the vehicle, it's the vessel, it's what we're working with, it's what we got.
Yeah.
here to work with. And then we've got our attention, we've got our consciousness. So when our attention and our consciousness is in this alignment here, we're feeling our body, we're connected to our body, there's some kind of centering, there's some kind of, there's an up and a down, there's a sky and there's the earth, and that starts to clarify, then I think it's easier and it's faster to be able to do it. So somebody else might have a different answer, but because that's where I come from, you know, that's what I find. It's not simply a matter of changing my mind or shifting the dial.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question as to the function of practice.
In terms of?
That's something that one can experience. Like, my personal experience with meditation practice is that there's an analogous effect, that if I'm present or if I've meditated, then I'm more likely to have a shorter delay in the response to the shift of attention to the configuration of my energetic self.
Because you're more present?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's just a tremendous amount of freedom in being present. I think we don't necessarily appreciate that as much as we can. But the more and being present for many people, a lot of my students say, that's a lot of work. That's really a lot of work to be really present. And I think it is initially, but once you're practiced and you're practicing and you're engaging yourself at that level, to me, it's not that much work, because again, if you don't ever get too far away from it, then it's pretty easy to, you know, fine tune it and to sustain it to a certain degree. If you get way, way, way far away from it, it can be like getting through quicksand, you know, to try to find your way back to really being fully present. So I think that once we are more versed in it, once we have a more practice, more a deeper understanding of it, it gets easier. But in the beginning, I think it does feel like you're doing some heavy lifting, you know, to get yourself into some kind of a present state. So any kind of practice that helps with that is going to be really, really useful.
Another question that is coming up as we're talking about this, we're talking more in the model of what the effect is for ourselves. But I'm interested also in your observation on presence and the practice of presence as service. And what I mean by that is, have you found that when you are more present, there's something that it enables something for other people around you? So when we practice being present, there's an act of service because other people have a greater possibility of moving into that place than they might otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple as, you know, I noticed, like, with our radio show, whenever we have Aikido practitioners that we're interviewing, that the quality of the presence in the radio station is very different than if we're dealing with people from other traditions. And it's I've observed that in the, you know, that's sort of an interesting observation, but it's the observation of the depth of presence creates a field outside of the immediate, my immediate concern, or your immediate concern, that has an impact on other people. And so in that sense, a conscious act or conscious practice of presence seems to have a service element to it, that you are providing a service for others.
I think so. I came across a quote, I think, that speaks to that. Our whole body awareness is a competency in service to our surroundings, which I kind of liked.
Yeah.
So I do feel like it is a service. It is in service. I feel like my practice of being present and having a presence is really what I can do, you know, to help make the world a better place. I think that that's what O-sensei was talking about. And because it's not an intellectual practice, you know, it's such an embodied, kind of energetic, there's something palpable about it, I think, that you're speaking to, then when somebody is in the field of that calm or that whatever the quality of the presence is, they're touched by it. And then maybe that shifts something, at least a little bit, in that person. And then they go home and maybe they're in a little better place, and it shifts something in the dynamic in the home. You know, it can just hopefully keep going out so that, you know, that's, I think, what O-sensei was talking about when he said, you know, get yourself in the best place possible. And if enough of us get ourselves in the best place possible, we're going to have a beautiful world. That's what he said.
Yeah, and I like that, and it maybe sometimes isn't emphasized enough, but that's actually doing something fairly major that has a real impact on the world.
Yes, and it's a tremendous responsibility, it's a tremendous commitment, and I think it's a tremendous offering. But I really think that it has a huge impact. When I'm in the presence of somebody who's really there, it's extraordinary. Very, very different than being in the presence of somebody who's completely checked out. You know, so if we can all do this, it'd be good. And I think that there's, you know, that being present is a doorway to having a presence, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a presence. I think if you're present, there's going to be something that's palpable about that, but I think that there's also some way where just being willing to kind of show up and be seen and to have that impact, to say that I can have that impact, I'm going to let some energy come through so that you're feeling the quality of my presence, is that starts to kind of become more dimensional, you know, as that gets developed. So really high level, being in the presence of O-sensei, my understanding of being in the presence of O-sensei was you could barely kind of keep your wits about you. It was, his vibration was so strong, and that people were really altered by being in his presence. Yeah.
Nature is present.
Yes.
So when we move into presence, we have a great ally to hold us there. And so it really does not take all that much energy. It doesn't take any energy at all, ultimately. But the problem is that we're educated out of that condition, and that's where it takes work to maintain that skew or that distortion.
Mm-hmm.
So then it takes work. It seems to take work to find our way back out of that distortion, but it's, I don't know, it's a little confusing. Where the work is being done in order to find your way into natural presence, into presence. So there's, because we're so stuck in an unnatural. Would you agree?
I was we were working in the dojo last night, so Kyle was grabbing me. Now, grabbing somebody's wrist, you'd think, well, how hard is that to grab somebody's wrist and actually connect to their wrist? And yet how people grab is this isn't a judgmental statement, but it oftentimes has a lot of distortion in it. It's not a true connection. And so then it's like, okay, how do I work with that? How do I blend with that? And so I used the image of a baby who hasn't realized that they're separate. And so, you know, when a baby comes and they hold your finger, I was in the presence of a 6-week-old today. It was absolutely delightful and to get my finger. And it's like, they get a hold of your finger. You are not getting your finger back very easily until they let go. Because the connection is just, they're not thinking about how to grab. Let's see, how do I grab that thing? And I look at their hand like, is that mine? And, you know. That's what, by the time we hit the point of disconnect where it's like, how does that thing work? I know it's mine. But it's like, and it's awkward. There's just something that's kind of awkward about it. Whereas a baby, it's already connected and it just goes click. You get out into nature. Osensei spent most of his time in nature. He was like, just get me out in the woods, you know. It was all very nature oriented. He said, if you want to understand Aikido, go and be in nature and watch the movements of nature. Because all of your movement, if you're moving naturally, you're moving harmoniously, it's all right there. And so there's some way where the distortion, takes us out of that harmony. But I think that that there's something that's very natural, that's very almost innate, that if we can remember that we are not disconnected, we can experience ourselves as connected and as a part of, then everything does get easier. But it's we come to these conclusions that we're all alone in the world. I know I have. I'm all alone in the world. It's like, no, you're not. Just think you are, not really. You know, so there's a cutoff, there's an isolation, there's a something, and then we have to find our way back into something that's very natural. In terms of our sense of, took a workshop with somebody. Rob said he had a Catholic priest who, I don't know if he's still a practicing Catholic priest. I took a workshop from somebody who'd been excommunicated by the Vatican. He's a very interesting fellow. And he said, he goes, well, we're just all bite-sized pieces of God. And I really liked that, because there was some way where it's just like, well, there's just this big pie, you know, and we're each just a little piece of the pie. The pie is still always the pie. We're a part of something that's bigger. And if we can allow ourselves to feel like we're a part of something that's bigger, then it's different. And then maybe the struggle isn't so strong. So I think probably my time is up. Are there questions or sharings?
This seems like it's really connected to meditation or people who do meditate. So, but it's Aikido. So do most people that do Aikido have a really strong meditation to kind of enhance that?
No.
So you're kind of going about the same place from a different angle.
It's oftentimes called a moving meditation. It's totally a meditation.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So the space that you're going to is just from a different angle to get to the same place.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when I meditate, I sit down on my zafu and I'm by myself. And so the practice is a very internal practice, at least for me. When I'm doing Aikido and somebody's hitting me, then if he comes and he tries to hit me on the head, Shoman, if I didn't move, he'd hit me on the head. I have to to be really still, really quiet, really present here to be able to do that. So the practice, solo practice versus a partner practice, then it's just the level of awareness here has to be very different. But the level of kind of quiet, precise attention, refined attention here, okay? And then in terms of that connectivity here, we're already connected. My energy's already behind him here. And so what do I have to do? Because I could be like, oh God, what do I do with that? Coming in, and he's the other, and he's trying to hit me, and here. It's always good to have the contrast of making it look a little weird. this is Aikido on a bad day. problem. Here. We are one. Here. And there's a harmonious movement. So that's the cool thing. We're already connected. Energetically, we're already connected. I don't know if you can see it, but I can certainly feel it. I will try to disconnect. I'll be able to disconnect. That starts to happen. I connect here, and we go here and here. Very different movement. Thank you. And he's doing the same thing. Any other questions? Did that answer your question?
Sure.
It's a meditation.
Yeah.
In relationship.
That's right. Yeah. With the forms that you're doing, one is the attacker and one is receiving. Mm-hmm. So in the mode of attack, can one be centered and grounded and spacious and quiet and be attacking in a real sense?
What are you defining as real?
Because this is stylized. I mean, this is stylized in the sense that he's doing an exercise with his teacher, and there's a form that you're. So there's a dance or a movement, but the conditions that give rise to.
True violence.
Yeah, violence or the expression of violence don't typically seem to be the conditions that I would associate with being aligned within myself, connected and grounded and spacious.
Right. That's the fundamental dilemma that people face. This is, you know, have I just broken a beer bottle and I'm going to come at you? Or am I being a clear mirror here? But what's true, what we can know, is that what he can do from that centered, spacious, grounded place versus somebody who's out of alignment and therefore wanting to hurt somebody is intention. So we have to we engage in forms so that you can practice and learn. And then as you get more advanced, the intentionality of it, we start to build the intensity of that.
So the form becomes, as in martial art, the form becomes more just amped up because as a practitioner, you're trying to move a different quality of energy or wanted to move a different quality of energy that's coming at you.
Yeah, so if I was going to teach your mom how to do Aikido here, I wouldn't come at her full bore the first couple of times.
That's my problem.
Okay, she'd need to kind of work with that, so I'd give her a kind of a simulated. I could come up to her and just go right there. Now, that's not hard or strong, but she can feel the truth in that. So there's a truth in it that's happening. But what's happening in violence is that there's an intent. If I want to hurt you, there's intent in that, right? That's not like, I kind of like to hurt you, so I'm going to maybe, you know, unless he's a sloppy drunk or something, there's going to be intent. And Aikido works with intent. so when that, because there's a crystallization in the intent to attack that then gets utilized. And that's when the person, because they're then they're off balance, they're out of alignment, they're out of sort, they may be strong, they may be aggressive, they may be fast, but they're off. And they have intent. So they're going to come at you without holding back. So that's why you get out of the way, and then you find where their balance is. That's why you have to be as present in that meditative state as possible, hopefully, and then you find where their balance is and you go with that. So in that sense, and I really hope that I never have to find out for sure, but that's where Aikido gets a little funny, is that sometimes it gets a little too dance-like and the intent isn't there. But because we're in the spiritual dynamics of things, I also refer to that as truth.
So the
can there be a truth?
So the intent, really, when you're doing the exercises, is that he's really supposed to be coming at you?
Yes, but he's not
as a mirror.
He's not unbalancing himself to do that.
So in other words, if somebody has really lost their focus on the other side, they could get hurt.
Yes. So what O-sensei said is, he said, first of all, protect yourself, and if possible, protect the other person. The person who's out of sorts. That's going to be your greatest gift, is if you can actually eliminate their fighting mind without harming them. And that's an extraordinary level of presence in order to be able to do that. How do you neutralize somebody's fighting mind without harming them?
Sense of humor.
That's fabulous.
Does some of the stuff that you're just has your study creeped into your sense of humor? So can you identify your sense, like Aikido movements in using sense of humor?
I absolutely love my sense of humor. I use humor as much as I possibly can in my teaching. And I keep myself entertained by my sense of humor. So I try to find humor in as many things as I can. So sense of humor is really important to me.
I could also say that Aikido is one of the most delightful things that you'll ever do if you practice it in this way that you're talking. And in that, it is really funny. You know, people laugh a lot on the mat, and I mean, it's just the energies, the play of them, are just delightful.
You can go in some dojos, and they're so serious that nobody's even going to crack a smile. And but in our dojo, you know, I want people to be serious and to be focused and to be sincere and respectful in what they're doing, and then be as joyful as you can allow. O-sensei said, always train with a joyful spirit. And my joke about that is that doesn't mean that you have to be in a good mood. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't go to class tonight because I'm not in a good mood. It's like, no. When you get into this place that I'm talking about, it's joyful. It's fundamentally joyful. And we laugh so hard when we're on the mat. It's just, because when you're a little kid and you're just wrestling around with your friends, you know, and they're tumbling and you're rolling all over them and they're doing all of that, and then you grow up and you're not supposed to do that anymore. And so you come into Aikido and you get to do it. As an adult, you know, it's like, It's very real, but it's also, there's a lot of play, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of mirth inside it. Yeah.
Why is it that we're not supposed to do that anymore when we grow up?
Oh, a lot of rules and regs.
Can you expound on that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we get held.
Why are cultures like that?
Well,
because I miss being a little kid and doing that. I think about it sometimes.
Well, you know, one of the things that I do is out when I meet somebody or whatever, I'll energetically kind of see if they want to play. You know, it's like a puppy coming up and going, hey, you want to play? Here's the ball, you want to play? And so, you know, when you engage with somebody and they're there and they're present and they're willing to, you know, kind of have stuff happen, it's absolutely delightful. So I'm always looking for people to play with. But I think that there's a way where we get kind of serious and we get kind of isolated and we get kind of self-conscious and we're supposed to be responsible and we're not really supposed to touch each other very much. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of rules and impositions that I think kind of get us into a tighter little box there. And when we're in that tight little box, it's hard to be playful. But I think it's innate in our being. Bodies love to move. Bodies love to move. And so when we start to allow our body to move, it's fun. It's pleasurable. It's joyful.
In the beginning of your talk, you talked about being more spacious.
Yes.
And less spacious.
Yes.
And I think that's the problem is when we start constricting, and so we lose the sense of spacious. A child has a sense of spaciousness.
Right, but then they go to school, you know, and it's like you have to sit in your desk and be quiet, you know, or it's so all this, you know, joy and stuff comes bubbling out, and somebody goes, so then you lock it down. And then you're like, okay, now I'm not in school. Can I unlock it? Yeah! And then you go, and then, oh. And so, you know, they keep, there's a structure, there's a form that, you know, we have to learn how to kind of do, but we don't necessarily learn how to unlock ourselves or return to, this is where I have to be. I'm in the library, I have to be quiet. Okay? I'm outside, I can run around and play. We need to be able to focus. I like to put two concepts together so you can be precisely focused. No, expansion. What is it? Precisely expansive and expansively precise.
Again?
What did I just say?
Can you say that again?
Precisely expansive and expansively precise.
Precisely expansive and expansively precise. So in precision, there's expansion, and in expansion, there's precision.
The same thing with general and specific.
Yeah. Start crunching numbers and, you know, you can head into that. You go out in nature and you're out there. So can whatever you're feeling in nature be there while you're crunching numbers? And can the precision of being able to crunch numbers happen when you're in nature? Probably not a very good analogy, but, you know, we don't want to. Osensei said, don't just be one thing. You want to have two things there. So that's why I like precisely expansive, expansively precise. So I'm aware of our time. Is there any other question before I bow out tonight? I hope this was this useful at all?
Sure.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. I just happened to come in, but what was the topic?
It's been recorded.
It's all right. I just want to hear it from you. What was
aligning and allowing.
Okay.
From an Aikido perspective.
Thank
I would like
so
to
much.
Thank my wonderful friends and hosts for having me come back, and thank you all for coming and hearing my talk. Can I do a moment of shameless self-promotion? So
or shame or no shame? No, no problem.
Okay, let's lose the shame.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just create precision.
Yes, yes. So precisely speaking, but not tomorrow, on Friday mornings, I do a class in my dojo that is just working with these principles. So you don't have to fall down. You don't have to throw anybody. It's for anybody who wants to come in and engage in these Aikido principles that I'm talking about. So this is...
has the information for that. This is information on the personal coaching private work that I do with people of a private practice. This is the dojo schedule and little flyer. And it's not entirely accurate, but it's mostly accurate. And then on Sunday, October 11th, I'm doing a whole day staying with this theme of aligning and allowing, embodying the universal principles of Aiki. That will be a whole day of doing this stuff in the dojo, and that's on October 11th. So you're welcome to join us for any of those.
Thank you. Thank you on behalf of Many Rivers. And thank you all for coming tonight. Mm-hmm. Many of you know the drill, but I'll go through it for any who may not. We have a donation bowl over on the counter next to all the literature that you are invited to peruse and take. And the donation bowl proceeds are shared between us and our speakers so that we can maintain the space for further such events and also to support the work of our speakers. And I encourage you to check out a sampling that Jim has put together of the awesome Aikido book selection that we have here at Many Rivers. This is just a small part of it. So do precisely observe what we have.
This is very good. Art of Peace. This is Osensei's teachings, and it really cuts to the essence of things. It's not
what
heavy
about
reading. Yes.
Exactly. So thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you again maybe tomorrow night and or Saturday afternoon or whenever. Thank you.
Thank you.